You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
We are live from Giant Training Camp, and joining us right now, the general manager of the New York Football Giants, Joe Shane. Joe, thank you very much for coming on. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Did you build a playoff team?
We're just trying to get through every day healthy and, you know, continue to get better each day. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out.
We had Jackson Dart on, and we were talking about when he knew that he was going to get drafted by you all, by us. And he said he felt it a couple of weeks prior. When did you know that you were going to make that move? It was a bold move.
Yeah, everybody talks about the timing of, you know, as we went through the process. And it was difficult this year because of the way some of the pro days lined up. Mm-hmm. And you're at a little bit of the mercy of the schools. You're at the mercy of the agents. When can we work them out privately? When is the pro day? And, you know, there was late pro days and stuff like that. So we didn't have all the information. So we really couldn't, you know, take all the information into account and have those meetings till mid-April to late April up before the draft, just because the way the calendar worked out this year. But, you know, good thing with him was he played in the Senior Bowl. So we were able to meet with him there. The coaches had an early exposure to him. You know, we were able to evaluate his film before he got there. We had some coaches that coached in the game. And then another touch point at the combine. And then, you know, you continue to go through the process at the end of the day.
Right.
You know, he's a guy we ended up really liking.
Let me get inside the GMing process. So two drafts ago, it was all J.J. McCarthy. And I told these guys, that's a smart screen. It's nonsense. The Giants are putting it out there just to throw people off their scent. It kind of felt that way this year because you were always out in Colorado. You were always seeing Shedeur Sanders. How did you know that Jackson Dart was the – was he top on the list?
Yeah, we go through this process, and unfortunately we've had to do it, you know, three or four, right, you know, whatever, and we did it. Dabes and Shea were part of the process in Buffalo with Josh Allen, so we've been through it. So it really is like you got to go start to finish. Mm-hmm. Like you got to go all the way through it, because the film may be one thing until you get these guys and you meet with them and, you know, you see what they see, what happened. You know, you may think it was a bad read, bad interception, when come to find out the guy ran the wrong route. So you got to get into the weeds with these guys and the coaches. So as we went through the process, like, he checked all the boxes, and at the end of the day, you know, the fact that we were able to get Abdul, be able to get Jackson Dart, and mm-hmm. still keep that 65th pick, you know, we're really happy the way it worked out.
I'm going to give you an analogy. So Tiki and I do the show together. There's a day in which I'm like, we're going to open with the Mets. And Tiki's like, no, we're not. We're going to open with the Giants. And we argue about it, and then we come to a decision. Usually Tiki gets his way. There are reports, and this is why I'm asking, that you and Brian Daboll disagreed on the quarterback you wanted. Is that true?
No. And again, like, I know there's that narrative out there, but you're not going to trade up into the first round for any player as the general manager if you have control of 53 and you don't like the player. So we went through the process. It was collaborative. Those decisions make you feel really good when it's an organizational decision and everybody's on board. So, you know, we got a really good offensive staff. You know, Kafka, the quarterbacks he's worked with, Daboll's history, Shea Tierney, a lot of confidence in them and a lot of confidence in our process and what we put these kids through. And, you know, Jackson stood out throughout that process.
So was it close? Because, like, Tiki mentioned Shedeur Sanders in the interest. He ends up dropping crazily. But was it like, this is close? Jackson has the edge. We're going to draft him. But was it a tough decision?
Yeah, Jackson was the guy at the end of the day. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to get into the details or all that. We just got an extensive process, and we have a lot of faith in that process and believe in the process that we put these kids through. And, you know, it's been proven to work in the past. So when we went through it, Jackson's a guy that, you know, we're happy that we have. And, you know, again, I'd rather talk about the players that we have here on the team versus other guys that are on other teams. So I'm happy he's here. He's had a really good week this week. You can continue to see him grow and get better each day. So, you know, we're really happy that we were able to get him.
Let's skip up the draft and go to Abdul Carter. No brainer. Was that was easy?
Felt like it. Right. You never know. Like,
right,
you never know. They're always you know, you try to eliminate the margin for error, but was able to see him play live twice. He's a guy that ever since his freshman year, as you're watching Penn State, like 11 just showed up. Maybe it's because of the number 11, right, or whatever it was, but he always moved at a different speed than everybody else on the college field from the minute he stepped on Penn State's campus. So he was a guy we evaluated last year off the ball, moved on the ball this year, or last year for Penn State. And, you know, again, the two games I was at, just his explosiveness off the ball, his ability to bend, chase, run. Like, he's different. He moves different.
Right. You see that. And it's interesting you say that, because That's what I always look for. That's the only thing I care about. I'm not a scout. I don't dig into the film like that. But if a guy shows up when I'm watching him,
yeah,
you can't help but get enamored. That was him consistently.
Him, yeah, when you're not evaluating him,
right,
you can't help but notice him.
Right.
Like those guys jump off the film, and he was one of those guys, and he's had a really good camp here. He's got, you know, it's a strong room between the outside linebacker room and the D-line room, some really good vets to learn from, leaders. So he's had a really good camp, and, you know, look forward to him continuing to get better each week.
All right, now go ahead.
No, I was just saying, and I think Giant fans are really excited that they were able to walk away with Abdul Carter, you guys did, and Jackson Dart. We argued about this a ton on the show, about the idea of quarterbacks and going in the top five. From executive's point of view, do you think the NFL needs a draft lottery so you guys have to stop sweating this out in December when you need a quarterback?
No, I mean, you earn the pick, so I guess you should get it. Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, we earned the third pick. You don't want to be picking there, but that's the way it went. You know, we're able to benefit because of, I mean, if you think about it, last year being six and this year three, two really good players.
Right.
You know, I think Abdul is going to be a really good player for a long time in this league, and then Malik Nabers, I'd put him in that same category.
Yeah. Now, outside of the first round picks, the other thing that Giant fans think about most, maybe even before the first round picks, is the offensive line. Andrew Thomas is banged up. We'll get an update, I'm sure, at some point. But was there anything else you thought you could do with the offensive line this offseason, including in the draft? I mean, I like them both, but
yeah,
outside of that.
You're always looking. And, you know, whether it's through free agency, again, you're at the mercy of what's available. You know, what year you're a free agent and mm-hmm. who's available. And then when they hit the market, you got to take everything into account, injury, character, price point, all those things. So you can't force it. You know, sometimes in free agency, you can really overpay.
Right.
You know, if you're desperate, and you know, you can get in trouble when you do that. And then through the draft, again, you don't want to reach. You want to let the board talk to you and take the players at the right value. And that's why you have all those meetings and you have a thorough process. And our scouts do a phenomenal job. And we spent a lot of time setting the board and trying to get the value right. So when we were able to get Bo in the fifth, I know it was the fifth round. Maybe that's not sexy, but, you know, there's a lot of good players that have come in the fifth round before.
Right. And this was a deep O-line draft.
Deep O-line draft, and he's a guy we liked, another guy we spent a lot of time on, and he's had a good camp. You know, he's playing right and left tackle. He's got really good feet. He's athletic. You know, we knew we were going to move Evan inside, mm-hmm. so, you know, a lot of people talk about the guard position and,
right.
and all that stuff, and maybe you do sign somebody, then you water that, you know, maybe Evan doesn't have the same opportunities as maybe you'd like him to get inside.
Right, since you brought it up, I'll go there. Evan Neal, I mean, he hasn't played guard in a long time, since his days in college, but physically – He could fit the role. I mean, he might be a little tall, but you can get away with that. Mekhi Becton was tall, and he was great for the Eagles a year ago, as we all know. So what can we expect from him? I know he's taking some starting reps, but he's not really a starter yet, but still Van Rotten. But how do you get into his mind to get him up to speed to potentially start at guard?
Yeah, first off, I'm really proud of Evan. You know, he's been through a lot, you know, drafted where he was drafted, and, you know, we won a lot of games with him his rookie year,
right.
and he battled through injuries year two, and, you know, again, last year was slow to start in camp, and Jermaine had the job, so I'm proud of him. You know, he's resilient. He's been working hard. He was open to moving inside to guard for us, and, you know, I believe you said it yesterday. Things happen a little bit quicker. Guys get on you, mm-hmm. but he's so big. He's so strong. He's got really good length, and he can move people, and that's really what stood out so far this camp. Just watching him today when he was in there, I haven't watched the whole practice yet, but just, you know, the reps where I was watching him, and he's just so massive and can create movement and, you know, a firm pocket in the pass game. So I'm pleased with where he is in the transition. You know, I'm excited to see him in these preseason games versus other teams and see how he does. But I'm proud of him. I like where he is. Like, he's had a really good camp this far, and, you know, the kid can be a starting guard in this league.
Right. Can this save his career, basically?
Yeah, I mean, again, he's doing everything right, and he looks really good right now. He's only, I believe, 25 years old. So,
right,
I mean, the guy has a long career ahead of him. He's too big. He's athletic. He's long. He's strong, and he's wired the right way. So
we saw a couple good safeties on this team leaving free agency, Julian Love, Xavier McKinney. And then this year we come in, Javon Holland. You guys signed him to a big deal. What about Javon Holland attracted you guys in free agency, knowing that the Giants had spent at safety under your regime the past couple?
Yeah, he's a guy that we liked back when I was in Buffalo coming out of the draft. You know, we had talked about him in the conversation. Hey, if Russo's not there, like, is he maybe a guy that we talk about late one, early two, and spend a lot of time with him? So when you're going through free agency and you take all things into account, including the character and leadership, you know, we were able to see a lot of that when he was coming out. So we had a good feel for the type of kid that we were getting. And Chris Rossetti, our director of pro scouting, was down in Miami too. So, again, when the time's right to acquire players, like, as you're building it and – you're trying to put the pieces together. it's not that I'm against paying any position, but there's a time when it's right when you're going to allocate resources to certain positions. And, you know, when he was available this offseason, you know, we thought right. it was a really good value where we were able to get it.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
In terms of his APY, and honestly, we're a little bit surprised he was still out there, you know, when we were able to get the deal done. I think it was Tuesday evening. So excited to get him. His communication has really stood out. You know, him and Newbin. Newbin's really taken a big step year two. He's more comfortable back there. So the communication on the back end, you hear the guys on the defensive line, the linebackers talking about it, the continuity due to the communication from those two guys. And he can also help Newbin, you know, down the road. Like, this guy's going into his fifth year. He's been a true pro. He's played at a high level. So it's really good, the multiplier effect that these young guys will get to learn from some of the vets that we brought in will make them better in the long run as well.
We're talking to Joe Shane, general manager of the New York Giants. I think the biggest question we're going to face on Sports Talk Radio, you're going to face, is when do you pull the trigger and start Jackson Dart? How do you make that decision?
Yeah, and that, just lean on Dave's and the coaching staff on that. But Russ has had a great spring. He's had a really good camp so far, too. So I'm excited about Russ and where he is. He's, I don't know if you guys saw him. Maybe he's down in weight.
Yeah.
He looks good running around out there. He's faster. He looks quicker than he was a year ago. And I know you guys just talked to Jackson, but, you know, the ability to come in the building every day and learn from a guy like Russ or Jameis and even Tommy. Tommy's been in the offense for 3 years, so he actually knows it better than, you know, the three guys that are here. So when the time's right, you know, he'll get his opportunity to play if it happens to be this year.
I know. Do you think it will be this year? If you had to guess,
I mean,
do you want it to be this year? That's the real
answer. Is he hopes not?
Yeah, I mean,
do you want?
I think Russ is going to come in and play well. I believe Russ, from what he's shown us this spring, what he's shown throughout his career, the leadership that he's shown and displayed, not just on the offense but the entire team. So again, for somebody to sit and watch that for a year, so then when they come in, okay, now you know how to study the week of a game. You know how to evaluate the point. You know how to watch film. We all watch film, but do you know, you actually know what you're watching? So when the coaches are up and they're not around, and you can sit there next to Russell Wilson, Jameis, Tommy, guys who have been around, and learn actually what you're looking at and tendencies and stuff like that.
We spent so much time speculating what you were thinking about during the offseason. When you signed Jameis Winston, did you in the back of your mind know, we're also going to add a veteran like Russ, we're going to try, we're also going to draft a quarterback, or was it protection in case it didn't work out? Take me through kind of the order of when you signed these veterans and what was going through your mind when you did it.
Yeah, and everybody just assumes you call somebody and you get a deal done, and it's done. It's just like that. So, I mean, the negotiations were on parallel track. So, you know, Russell's deal took probably 2 weeks. We brought him in on a visit and didn't get the deal done for probably two more weeks. So there's a lot of back and forth. And then, you know, we entertained Jameis as well, had him in, and it took 4 or 5 days. So we were trying to get both those guys done at the same time. Just the timing of it, you know, we ended up getting Jameis' deal done before we did Russell's. But, you know, we were in negotiations with both those guys at the same time.
Did Russ, because he knows, I mean, you drafted a quarterback in the first round. He knew that was a possibility. Did he ever ask specific questions about, am I guaranteed a year? Like, did he ask about that kind of stuff?
Yeah, and it's one of those deals. We would not guarantee anybody that we wouldn't draft the quarterback.
Right.
There were a couple people at that position in free agency said, hey, if you don't promise you won't take a quarterback in the first round, then just don't even.
That guy's Aaron Rodgers, right?
Don't even enter. No.
That's what Aaron
said? No. Don't even entertain us, but that's legit. So, like, oh, why didn't they go after X, Y, and Z? Well, we're not going to promise that because I don't know who's going to be there. We don't know how the draft's going to unfold. I'm never going to do that promise and, you know, then break a promise or whatever. So, you know, there were players that did that. So we shot everybody straight. Like, listen, we don't know what's going to happen in the draft. Again, when we signed these guys, it's mid-March. We hadn't even, you know, Dayball hadn't even seen some of the guys throw yet in person. We hadn't had private workouts with them. Some of them hadn't been in our building yet. So we approached it as if, like, hey, we're not going to draft the quarterback, and it's okay if we don't.
Yeah, let me ask you a hierarching question. We remember in 2022 when you and Dave's were in your first year, we knew what the identity was. It was, we're going to play smart football, right? Don't make – I remember the Daniel Jones, make better bleeping decisions in that first game against Minnesota. Well, not Minnesota. Who was it? Tennessee. Against Tennessee. And it helped, right? It created an identity. Win games at the end. Play it close, win games at the end by making plays. What's going to be the identity of this team? If I had to guess, I'd say it's what you guys have done defensively. Right? You've built a front that has three really good pass rushers. That's assuming Abdul Carter turns into the player everybody expects. Dex is in the middle. You obviously put some depth there as well at the defensive line. You got a pretty good second level. And then all this focus we talk about, draft last year in the secondary, obviously free agency with Paulson Adebo as well in the secondary. Is the identity going to be kind of old school, giant, kick-ass defense?
Yeah, and that's starting to take shape now. Right. As we're going through it, some of the pieces are new. We're trying to feel them out, how we're going to utilize. You've seen Abdul move around a lot. But, yeah, I mean, defensively, I expect us to be physical and fast and, fly to the football and, again, just not kill it, not beat ourselves on offense. That's what's happened the last couple of years with penalties, turnovers, whatever it may be. Just we've really been harping the details. Dave's been all over that, whether it's false starts, offsides, missed assignments, not running to the ball. So, again, we're going to do the small things right, not beat ourselves. And, again, what I'm most excited about is some of the new leaders that we added and then just what that looks like right now from a chemistry standpoint as they start to come together as a team. But, I think defensively, that would definitely be part of our identity.
We're talking to Joe Shane. Last year, end of the season, obviously disappointing year. The owner, Mr. John Mara, says, I better be in a better mood next year. Did you ever ask him what does that mean? What that means for him to be in a better mood and you guys to be safe for another year or two or three?
Yeah, we won three games, so I'm with him.
So you got to win more games.
Yeah, I would like to be in a better mood next year too. So, three games is not good enough. It's not good enough. And, that's our job to put a team together on the field and Dave's and the coaching staff to coach them. And, we had what we thought was a productive offseason and, we've got continuity amongst the staff. Some of these first year players that are going into year two, I think you're going to see a jump in year two. But, I'm with John. I don't need to ask him what that means. I totally get it.
Do you think you're on the hot seat?
I can't worry about that. You got to control what you can control. I think all of us have been told that since we were a kid. I tell my kids that.
Right.
So if you're focused on something that you can't control, you're taken away from what's most important. And to me, that's building the best team here for 2025 and beyond. And focus on the plan that's in place and do my job the best I can to help the franchise and get Dave all the players that he needs in order to have success. So that's my focus. That's my staff's focus. And I know that's Dave Ball's focus
too. Right. The pressure to be successful, it's here. Whether you feel it or not, or whether you ignore it or not, doesn't matter. But there genuinely is an enthusiasm. Like I felt it the first day I came over here. Where does that come from? Is it coming from the players? Is it coming from, I think a lot of it is Dave, to be honest with you, but where is that coming from?
Yeah, Dave's is in a great space right now. Obviously, he's always got energy. He's had a lot of energy out there, and I think it's some of the new faces. Like we were a young team last year, specifically in the secondary and some of the defensive spots, and that's my fault. We needed more leadership back there, and I think with Paulson Adebo and Javon Holland adding those guys, Chauncey Golson, outside backer group.
Right.
So again, then now you got Dexter, going into what is he 6-7 year, Burns more comfortable year two, so. And then the addition of Russ and Jameis, just having, the leadership from that position that those guys have provided has been really good. And, again, I think some of these kids look up to those guys.
Right.
They're probably sitting on the couch when, as kids when Russ is playing in the Super Bowl. So, they've listened to him. He's got him and Jameis both have a way of saying the right things, and they've got a ton of knowledge and experience in this league. So that's been really cool to see.
Yeah. It's interesting because I keep hearing this from you. I hear it in your answers. You're still learning at this gig. And how have you changed from year one to now year four?
Yeah, the biggest thing is you're always evaluating. You're always evaluating yourself, the decisions. Why did we do that? Why didn't we do that? Oh, yeah, we had this information. There's a lot that goes into this. And, the hardest part I tell my friends is like, we got to wait 9 months to get that taste out of our mouths after, walking off the field in Philadelphia as a 3-win team. And you don't know how it's going to play out. You make moves that you like. You like the guys. And then you also got to get lucky and have health. So you're trying to put this plan together, and there's a lot of stuff that's out of your control. There's a lot that's in the control, but there's also some out of the control. So you're always evaluating, what you hit on, what you lost, what you missed on, why you did it, what was your thought process, and see it through. And I said in one of my press conferences I wasn't going to do a Hail Mary or anything like that to set the franchise back. We just, if I worried about the stuff that you asked me earlier, like, then your focus is the wrong place. We just put our heads down, rolled up our sleeves, and went to work this offseason. And we were able to get some good players, a good value that are the right type of guys that fit this organization and, fill some voids that we had. So, again, I'm excited about the group. I'm excited about the team, the chemistry, the energy that you feel this far. And hopefully we can stay healthy and see the fruits of the labor come through.
Let's hope so, Joe. We appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Appreciate it, guys.
Joe Shane, general manager of the New York Football Giants. Evan Atiki from Giant Camp.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.